This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We welcome back Father Louis Alessio, celebrating Mass today. He'll be celebrating Mass again on Wednesday at 10 a.m. for the repose of the soul of his father, Louis Alessio Sr. He died this week. Great sadness, especially because of the many restrictions. Priest unable to visit him. This terrifying situation we're in today. We pray that it be better. Don't curse those involved in spreading the lies and the lockdowns, but pray for their conversion and repentance and do what we can to resist, fight back. So there will be on Tuesday a wake between 4 and 6 p.m. just down the road here in Totowa, at the Festa Funeral Home. And there'll be a rosary around 6 p.m. at that place down the road where Father's brother Vincent was also seen off, died last June or July, and the same place, the same company. So the Requiem Mass here at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, and sadly another parishioner, Holy Name Society member, died yesterday at 5 p.m., Mr. Peter Petrosino. And so similar situation, except I was able to sneak in through the ambulance section and went right up and gave him the holy oils, and apostolic blessing, and extreme unction, absolution, and he died before 24 hours. So, Louis Alessio Sr., Pete Petrosino, both passed away this week. Funeral details for Pete are pending. We don't have the details yet, maybe today. So, probably there'll be two Requiem Masses this week. I told you in January, I expect to be memorizing the Requiem Mass this year. Not very pleasant news, but that's the way it is. So pray for their souls and all those dying, especially those dying without the help of the sacraments because of these evil, evil measures of these evil people who want to lock down the world and reform man into their own image and likeness. Louis and Pete, great, wonderful parishioners, may their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. So keep in your prayers, Greg Gonzalez, Father Gonzalez, still under rehab. I put a warning in a recent bulletin, keep away from the hospitals if you can. Death zones, I'm afraid, but there are good people working there. And there's a massive deception going on, as you know. So those in hospital, pray for them. Those who are dying, pray for them. After Mass, if you haven't yet picked up the box of envelopes, 2022 collection envelopes, they're there at the back of the church. Between the Masses today, catechism, apologetics classes. And after the second Mass today, we take down the Christmas decorations. If anyone wants to volunteer, that'll be most welcome. And again, I added something to the bulletin this week, commentary on today's Gospel from Cornelius Lapide, the great commentator, the great Jesuit, the end of the 16th century, exposing the truth about every line in sacred scripture. Much of it's in English, all of the Gospels and some epistles. You have a little extract here about our Lord's mysterious words to his Blessed Mother as he goes to sanctify marriage. Had just been manifested, Epiphany to the wise men, had the manifestation on the octave day of the Epiphany, is the feast of the baptism of our Lord, where the Holy Ghost appeared and the voice of the Father, the manifestation of our Lord as the Messiah. And now in today's gospel, he manifests himself as divine by the miracle, his first miracle. Massive amounts of plain water turned into the best wine at the request, at the gentle suggestion of his Blessed Mother. And so the mysteries of today's gospel reveal our Lord's divinity and many of those. He had chosen by this stage five of the 12 apostles. They all came along to the wedding feast as well. Those feasts, by the way, lasted several days, up to a week. And people would come and go over the whole week to celebrate the wedding. That's the custom in the Middle East. I found it's also the custom in India. They'll celebrate a wedding for day after day after day. And of course, the wine is the symbol of joy, which it is if it's used in moderation. And so it's a great embarrassment for the host if the wine runs out. Now, in the weddings of the time, and the custom was the bridegroom has to pay for the wine. So our Lord is actually indicating he's the one who supplies the wine. He's the bridegroom of the new covenant. In the Old Testament, God was the bridegroom, his beloved people, his bride. It's a big theme in the Bible. And our Lord transfers that relationship to he, the bridegroom, and the church is his bride. And that is the model of all Christian marriages. I have some suggestions here to help those preparing for marriage or those living in this lifestyle, which is, since our Lord elevated it to supernatural sacrament, just a few suggestions. He sanctifies marriage at the very beginning of his public ministry. And although he chose not to be married, he chose to be the first celibate Catholic priest. He could have chosen anyone. He could have made the most perfect woman to marry, but no, he chose. There is a higher life than marriage. But on the natural order, a good marriage is the happiest state of life, the greatest blessing we can hope for in this valley of tears. A good marriage is a great blessing. And for those who are baptized, it's automatically elevated to a sacrament, a channel of grace. St. Paul says to the Ephesians, it's a great mystery. The Latin is sacramentum, a mystery that brings grace to those who are baptized and married, especially with the blessing of the church. So a few tips about marriage. First of all, as you know, it's the foundation of family life, which is the building blocks of society. Good marriages means good families. Good families means a good society. So it's critical that marriages be good, and they won't be good if the individuals involved are not good. So clearly anyone who's thinking about marriage must be good, must become good, must eradicate bad habits, and marry with the right intention, with the preparation the church provides in tradition. And you've got to have at least 6 months to prepare with the paperwork and with the instructions from the priest. So when two good people marry, especially if they're from two good families, there is great rejoicing because there's great hope. But there are also dangers. I use this occasion every year to warn against mixed marriages, which the church prohibits. Now, there's two kinds of prohibition: those that can be dispensed and those that cannot. Because some of the obstacles to a valid marriage are of divine law. You cannot marry your brother or sister. You cannot marry someone who is incapable of fulfilling the marriage requirements. We cannot just marry who we love. That's the big lie from spreading today. We should be able to marry who we love. Well, no, you marry who God wills. And Sometimes love will grow, sometimes it can be wounded, but we have the preparation of the church ensures the best likely result of a good marriage. But mixed marriages are, for instance, they're impossible by divine law when one of the parties is not a Catholic and would corrupt the faith of the children. So it can be dispensed if the bishop investigates and decides that the non-Catholic partner makes a promise in writing that they will not impede the Catholic faith and will actually help with raising the children, all of them, Catholic. It's just a reminder, this is the law of the church. Even currently, it's the law of the church. No marrying non-Catholics. Dispensations can happen because sometimes it can work. Often they are unhappy, mixed marriages. Every marriage is challenging, but if they differ in religion, the challenges can be overwhelming. And the children can lose the faith. Often they do. So mixed marriages can be permitted only with exception, only if the non-Catholic partner, under oath, in writing, promises to raise the children Catholic and not impede the Catholic spouse in his faith. Moreover, to show the church's displeasure with mixed marriages can never be done in the church. It has to be done in the priest's rectory or in the sacristy without any surplus, stole, vestments, no blessing. Just two witnesses. Now again, the bishop can dispense with those rules, but that was the custom and it was very hurtful for some non-Catholic people to have the restrictions. But it was for a very good reason, to discourage mixed marriages. Now the saddest thing is that some Novus Ordo Catholics think like Protestants or non-Catholics. They have completely different ideas about religion, prayer, our duty to God. And so sadly, we have to treat Novus Ordo marriages and with a traditional Catholic as if it was a mixed marriage. And priests of our society are constantly trying to do damage control from the bad teaching of Novus Ordo. So it affects families, it affects society for the future. Just be careful. Difference of opinion can cool affections. How much more difference of religion? So sometimes mixed marriages can bring the non-Catholic to the faith. St. Paul says that in the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 7. And so the other danger in marriage is the stranger danger. When people bring a television set into the house or the ideas of the modern of the world that come through whatever means into the household, there's the stranger that's dangerous. So just beware of outside influences. Also, we must be aware of the danger of the common idea that if it's unhappy in your marriage, you can just get out of it. No. If you link up today's gospel with chapter 19 of St. Matthew, it's very clear. Our Lord says, for those baptized, marriage is forever because it's a symbol of the union of Christ with his church, which is unbreakable and forever. What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Luke 16, 18, everyone that putteth away his wife and marries another commits adultery. You might say, well, in St. Matthew's version of that quote, our Lord says, anyone who puts away his wife, except for adultery, and marries someone else, commits adultery. So the Protestants argue that our Lord gives an exception here. You can put away your wife if she's committed adultery. So for other reasons, you might put away your spouse and marry someone else. No, 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 no. What our Lord is saying is now built into canon law that a man can put away his wife and vice versa if she is an adulteress or some other very grave reason, there is what's called imperfect divorce permitted. In other words, separation. Either the minor separation from the bedroom or major separation from bed and board. And it can be done for grave reasons, even in canon law, if there's one spouse is leading the children astray from the faith. That is sufficient reason for separation. So the Catholic Church allows for separation when necessary, and even civil divorce. It's allowed. It can be done even without fault. So long as you don't believe that the civil divorce nullifies the marriage. That's the heresy that's now rampant. Non-Catholic Americans believe that when the civil court decrees nullity, it's null and void. You can free to marry. Not according to Christ's law and his Catholic Church. And St. Paul says very explicitly, those who are divorced have to either remain single or go back together again. And it's what our Lord did in this regard is revolutionary. He actually said, you've heard it said from Moses, a man can divorce his wife. And I'm telling you, no more. Our Lord, as the new lawgiver, the new Moses, takes away the dispensation Moses gave. Moses gave it because they would kill their wives in order to marry again, unless he permitted divorce. Jesus says no more. The new Moses comes out with a new law which actually revolutionized society. This one law of our Lord, maintained only by the Catholic Church now, has elevated women who can no longer be dispensed with or traded in like a new model of a car. When you're sick of your car after 10 years, you trade it in for another car. That's what the Moses law permitted. Jesus says, no, you marry, it's for life. In two ways, permanence as well as for bringing about new life. And there are many reasons why this one law of our Lord has elevated women, strengthened family life, and built civilization, which of course is decaying all around us, largely because divorce and remarriage is allowed, and it shouldn't be. So these are the common dangers. To make your marriage happy, happier and holier, you have to do certain things. Respect your partner. Respect and a love. Love sometimes doesn't work by feelings, but by a determined intention. And it's fostered by respect. Do not fight or argue with your spouse. So many people don't have a forgiving spirit. You heard St. Paul, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If you have a complaint against one another, as the Lord has forgiven you, forgive. Beware of criticizing your partner's faults or constantly harping on trifles. These things destroy a happy marriage. We have to trust one another. We have to earn that trust and maintain it. You can spend years building up trust and then a few minutes you can destroy it, which means we need self-control, prayer. Do things together. Husbands and wives should do things together, should put the relationship with God first and with each other second, with the children third. It's actually the spouses that need to love each other for the children to flourish. We have to work to make the home a pleasant place, keeping worldly influences away. We have to use family money and property wisely. It's a common source of discontent. The husband is bound to the complete support of his wife and children, but a wife is bound to use the family money wisely, prudently. St. Paul tells Timothy, if any man has not care over his own, especially those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Ultimately, the most important means of maintaining or improving a good marriage is to pray together. Where there are two or three gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Family that prays together stays together. You know that. It's very true. And so these are some suggestions to maintain good relationships in your marriage and for young people to prepare. For most people, this is your vocation. Most people are called to this. And most people will be sanctified through this marriage relationship. So it is for those baptized who put no obstacle to their marriage, there is a constant stream of divine grace symbolized by the ring. And the ring that is blessed is a sacramental, which helps you to activate those graces given to you in marriage. So indeed, the world needs good examples of good, solid Catholic marriages, and that can only come from good individuals. So be good, and God will bless you, and he will turn the water of worldly tribulations into the wine of divine grace. And don't forget the role of the Blessed Mother in that wedding. Without her intervention, our Lord would have not worked that miracle, would not have begun his public life. His plan A was to wait a little while, do a different miracle. His plan B was activated by Mary's intervention. Son, they have no why. Appealing to his love and mercy for the needs of this couple, to make their marriage happy, to make his mother happy, Jesus went to plan B in the eternal decrees. It's not right to say he changed his mind, but he activated plan B, waiting for Mary's intervention. Since then, we call upon her for miracles, miraculous transformation of people, of souls, starting with myself. So these are some of the considerations for this holy gospel of today. I am praying it for all of your families and marriages, that they may all be purified and elevated and persevere as a means of divine grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.